right, you talk a while.
Well,
about sugar.
Well, the first year of sugar, I think, well, I know, we came down with just one lining plant. And that lining plant I had taken out of the cottage and brought down just for that.
All right, now just wait a minute, I want to go on.
Yes, I wired the first showboat, and I done a lot of the wiring in back of the grandstand, what we had there that little for the first year. And then for about the first 18 years, I bought the boat down. And so I was with it from the very beginning. I never will forget that opening night when Joe Schwartzman and Lou put me his foot off, you know. So we didn't have Joe the first night, nor the rest of them. He was in the hospital. But of course that thing kept growing and going, and by that time I was working at AC, even then I was still bringing the boat down. But it was getting too hard for me to be up that late and then get up at 4:30 to go to work, so I quit.
Tell us a little bit about how that first showboat worked. How was it built?
Well, it was about...
How was it floated?
On oil drums. 90 some odd oil drums. And that wasn't enough. We soon found that out. We did that night. But with the people all getting on this one side, some were standing in water that deep, about 4 inches. So the next year we added 5 or 6 more drums on that side. But that boat used to have to be taken apart and taken out of the river. And we had to build them each year. Well, then of course during the war, they quit on account of the lights and everything. So then we built a new boat after that, and that had these large tanks on each side that were made by Wick's brother, I think, in Saginaw. Now maybe it wasn't Wick's. It's the one Dave Paul was connected with. Well, anyway, there were two large cylinders, about 4 feet in diameter and 50 foot long. There's one of those on each side of the boat, and then from the center of the boat forward, there's one more that isn't quite as long as those. So now it's quite a lot easier when you don't pick anything apart on the boat. Well, and we, Roscoe Rice really found out how to make that smoke. That is titanium tetrachloride. It's what they use for skywriting fluid. So that's what the smoke is.
What do they do? Make chemicals?
It's a chemical, and all you do is pour it in the dish, and it goes.
Oh.
It just, there's nothing else. Some nights, when there wasn't any draft, we might have to put one of those smudge pots that they use in the highway in there, and that little heat creates draft enough for that to go out. But that's the same thing they use for skywriting. I even had some fun with that in the plant. One of the big control panels for one of those machines, you know, when they get ready to try it, well, I'd sneak around and put a little of this stuff in the panel, see? Well, they start the machine up, all of a sudden there was smoke coming out of the panel. They thought, so well, I had a little fun with that, even. Roscoe's the one that got onto that. And, of course, the whistle was blown by two tanks of CO2 gas every night. And it frees up on you. So we had 2 50-foot coils of copper tubing in the water under the boat, which helped. And the two lines came up and fed that big pipe that went up to that. That was a genuine old freighter whistle. And it takes a lot to blow it. You couldn't, even with the two tanks, you can't blow it properly. So it does blow. We did use 2 tanks of that gas a night just to do that. Well, I don't know, just the show kept improving, and we were learning all the time. And the people parking and all like that learned the same way. It just had grown to what it is today. But at first, there was a sure something.
I know it.
Yeah, I
was. It was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
I bring my outboard motor even down for that.
To help the boat go?
Hmm?
To help the boat go down, you mean?
Yeah.
To run the boat?
Yes.
How were the first boats run? With outboard motors?
Oh, yeah. I think just two in back. Then later, on the motor boat, they built this well right across inside the cabin, and there were four. And then we added one forward just inside the cabin. It helped much better for steering. Dick Porter used to run that one. He couldn't see nothing out anywhere. So I made a dial with the light. And out where you steer the boat, I had a selector switch that if I wanted him to turn, I would light that light. And I had it all right here. That motor helped greatly in landing, see. You've got to come in like this and make a real sharp turn to come up to that thing. Well, that stage isn't, the river is here, and the stage is not here. It's like this. So, that's about all I knew about showboat. I was there from the beginning.
You know, this has been wonderful. This is a very, very nice thing. You've told us so many things that nobody else has ever done.
Oh, yes.
Well, no, you have. You know, most people don't do these things. They just, you know, they don't have those interests. Not everybody has all these interests.
Well,
I certainly appreciate it.
Huh?
Is there anything more you want to tell?
No.
All right.
You want to talk to me when you were born?
Well, I'm Ben Johnson Walter, and I was born out on what has always been the Johnson Centennial Farm, 3 miles and a half east of town, on what used to be known as the old Center Road, but now is known as M57. I have lived a very uneventful life, but a very happy one. Especially as I reminisce, I think of what a wonderful childhood that my sister and I had. We were poor farmers, I guess, so to speak, but had many, many good times. We had a Shetland pony that my father traded with a horse trader that went through in those days. I remember he had an old gray mare that he traded for this pony. And every year we would have a little Shetland pony. And the money that we sold the ponies for, which was $50, went into a piano for my sister and I. The Greenbaums, who used to be here, bought one of the ponies, I remember, that was black and white and quite outstanding. Another thing that, as I think back, I was quite advanced, because when things didn't go right to suit me, I used to get angry. And I'd go in the old stone chicken coop and sing to the chickens. And believe it or not, that week my mother always got more eggs. And today, well, they put radios in the chicken coop. We didn't have much to do with in comparison to the children now. We had a nickel a week. And my sister and I would drive the old pony to town, and one of us would buy a Bulldog edition of a funny paper, and the other one would get a nickel's worth of candy. Until one day, we were in Cummings and Sandman's grocery store, which is the far western end of town now, and as the dairy, what do they call it, the Dairy Cups Center. We had a grocery store there, and we saw some big grapefruit. So we decided to pool our two nickels and buy one. Well, all our dime was gone, no funny paper, no candy, and when we went to eat the grapefruit, Bobby, the first ones in town, it was so sour and bitter that we couldn't chew it. So we didn't do that trick again.
Where'd you go to school?
Well, from 4 years old, I used to run away and go to the French school, which was about a quarter mile, and Nora Fulmer was the teacher. And Julia Burroughs Brainerd was another one. And, of course, Ellen Carson was there several years. She'll be well remembered here in Chesning for her teaching. Then another thing that we used to do in the at the farm was we did our own ceramics. We had blue clay on the farm, and we'd gather that, and we used to make, we had our play houses in the old corn crypts. And we used to make all kinds of dishes and bake them in the sun. We used our initiative instead of having the TVs and the radios and so on. We did have a phonograph. I remember the night my father brought that home with its colored horn and the cylinder records. And Red Wing was my favorite. I used to play it over and over and over. Well, anyways, in seventh grade, we moved to town, and I went to the old schoolhouse and graduated from Chesning. My tips went to school and became a teacher. And I taught the first 2 years out at the West Falls School, walked 3.5 miles each way and taught for $50 a month and got $5 for the danger work. And from there I went to Montana. I joined a agency on Michigan Avenue in Chicago and got school in the West for $150 a month. When I taught the area and came home in the summer. And I was always chumming around with Art before I went. And he persuaded me to stay here, as I had intended to go back to teach. And I got a school in St. Charles. And we were married, Arthur Walser and I were married in 1922. And I've always lived in Chesning. Taught school 4 years in St. Charles and 2 years in Chesning, where I fell into the insurance business. First selling automobile insurance for the Valley Insurance Company, which was an organization of Saginaw men, George O'Brien, Ed Knoop, and Doug Nelson. And so I liked that work, and gradually got into life insurance by dog birding for an insurance agent. And one morning I decided I knew how to sell a policy and went out and sold a $10,000 one, which was very unusual at that time because the average policy was $1,000, and I went immediately to Saginaw and demanded a contract of my own, which was in 1929. And I stayed in the insurance business until 1954. From 1954, why, I guess I've just been enjoying myself. As to hobbies, I was always interested in going to see the older people, and I've done that up until this year, when I really haven't been able. But I had many, many older friends. I'd say people were my hobby. I love people and like to do for them, and that's what I've been interested in. Probably if when I was younger, I would have been a nurse if I could have had my way. And here I am sitting now, rocking away, enjoying, reminiscing of the very happy days that I've had the rest of my life.
Can you think of any real interesting experiences you had? For instance, let's go back to Montana. Did anything interesting happen there that was different from here?
Well, yeah, I had an awfully good time, and that was once in my life. I was a very, very popular, because there were about 15 fellows to one gal. They'd gone out from Minnesota, mostly all Swedish, or the Norwegian abstraction, and went to homesteaded. And they used to come along with a sleigh, covered sleigh, and we'd go, someone would move all the furniture out of the house, and we'd dance all night. And it was many a time that I went back to, didn't get back to from the dance just in time to go to school to teach. And I used to be so sleepy that I'd say to the children, well, it's rest period, let's put our head on the desk, and I'd take a little snooze.
How many children did you have in this school?
Oh, there was about 15, but all grades.
And when you were teaching in Chesning and St. Charles, what did you teach?
I taught first grade. Mm-hmm. And enjoyed it immensely. I liked teaching very much. I could relate quite a story how I nearly got fired because I smoked a cigarette and someone told the superintendent, but thought that'd be better not told.
But you couldn't teach after you were married, could you?
Yes.
Oh, you could.
Oh, yeah, I taught after I was married. See, I was married in 22, and I taught I taught 9 years.
When I came onto the scene, once you were married, you were out.
Huh?
Now, have you some interesting experiences in your insurance business? The things that happened to you?
Well,
you don't have to name names.
I think I was a fairly successful agent. I made 10 conferences. So I really went all over the United States to these conferences. And that was...
And now explain that just a little more.
Well, if you sold a certain amount of insurance, then you had your expenses paid on these trips. And they were very lovely. I went to Banff, Lake Louise, Jasper, Quebec, all of Florida, St. Andrews by the sea, went up through the Laurentian Mountains by boat. Very wonderful trips.
Did you sell all types of insurance?
Yeah, I finally had a general agency, but life insurance is what I like best.
What do you do in the summertime when you go to a cottage? What type of swimming do you enjoy?
Well, I plan do a lot of swimming and flowers. I planted water lilies, colored water lilies in the lake, and some fishing. And a little bridge now and then I always got in. But we used to go to the railing to the Grinning Bridge Club. Oh, another thing that I was quite active in was the Episcopal Church. And I became interested in that through Mary Tubbs Bauer. And when I was going to high school, she really had me believing that they couldn't have Sunday school unless I was there. And I never missed. And then after I was confirmed in 1913, I worked a great deal. In fact, I have the Silver Cross from the Diocese of Michigan.
Did you have any more interesting experiences that you can think of?
Well, it was the first time that I was ever on a Pullman. It was when I went to Chicago and left. And when I just saw those flimsy curtains in front of me, when I took my rings off and put them on my toes so no one could steal them. And then I'd always heard about the Mississippi River. And so I told the porter to awaken me when we went across the Mississippi. And I was so afraid that he wouldn't that I took my pillow and put it in the window and had the window up. And of course, it was the days of when they burned coal. Well, I saw the Mississippi River, which I was very disappointed in seeing. It was so small, the place we crossed. But when I went to the dressing room in the morning, I was just as black as a porter. So, I'll never forget that. I began scrubbing.
Were the schools in Montana different from the ones here?
No. I taught in Poplar, Montana. And there was a big Indian reservation in that town. One of the main highways going to Yellowstone goes through Poplar at the present time. What I had to get used to was there was no trees, but I loved it there. Froze my neck. I remember 40 below zero and been doing it until it got good and sore the next day.
Well, this has been very interesting.
Ernie Johnson Walser. Well, I have lived a very uneventful life, but a very happy one. And I'd say that I had lived in my best years of life, although oft times I wonder whether I was born 50 years too soon with all the inventions and various things that I have seen developed throughout my lifetime. I was born 3.5 miles east in the Chesney Township, which until last year was a centennial farm. And when I was born, the neighbor came in who acted as a midwife. And that week, the Chesney Argus, which, as I recall, was run by Mr. Miller, had an announcement that the Gene Johnson estate had increased in valuation $1,000. A daughter was born. However, throughout most of my childhood, I was my father's boy. I went to French school, and the boys and girls, as we went home from school, was out in the springtime, was always looking for dandelions, because the first one we saw, we could take off our shoes and go barefoot for the remainder of the summer. That held no matter how cold it got. We had the neighborhoods within the mile. Always had picnics in the woods. It was a great big flat stone, which we used as a table. And we'd hollow out the stumps and have those for our toilets. My dad traded an old gray mare for a Shetland pony, which was Old Babe, and with a cart. my sister and I would drive to town and fasten the lines, turn her around, and she'd go home without us, and then we would ride home in the surrey with our folks. Saturday was the big day in Chesney. All the neighbors were there doing their shopping for the week, taking in their butter and eggs and so on. I had 5 cents a week for my spending money out of the butter and egg money, which bought me a Bulldog edition of Detroit paper. We moved to town when I was in the 7th grade. I graduated from high school, and B.B. Eldris was the superintendent, and Steve Adams was the principal of Ipsy Lally Normal, and came home and taught at the Westfall School. Then I went to Montana to teach for 1 year. And I recall when I got out there, of course I was as green as the grass, and the boys took me out horseback riding. And I didn't know very much about it, and I bounced up and down the saddle, and the next morning I could hardly walk. And all the rest of the jokes that they could play on the greenhorn. I came home in the summer, and secured a position in teaching in St. Charles. In St. Charles, after 3 years, I taught in Fessing 3 years. And then I gradually got in the insurance business, which I liked. I was married in 1922 to Arthur Walzer, and in 1931, Patricia Ann came to Gladner home. She's now a nurse and has 2 children and lives in Cadillac. When we were first married, we paid $7 a month rent on a half a house on Lane Street. And in 1929, we bought the Jackson home and have lived there ever since. We remodeled it because each room was of octagon shape. And put hardwood floors and funded all the necessary things that we thought that would make us comfortable. I kept on working, and the insurance business grew, and I had a general agency, which I sold in 1954. I had an excellent and happy life, and feel I was very fortunate to live in this era. As a kid in high school, I always worked, and I had money to go to Normal with. I picked beans, and I was a printer's devil for Ishii and Ingalls. The first automobile ride that I ever had was in Cantwell, Buick. There was a big 4th of July celebration in Chesney, and he gave rides for a nickel from Cantwell's, which is now Bert and Joe's corner, to the depot. I believe he was the first one that had a car in Chesney. And the first airplane ride I had was in 1924 in California, when we took a motor trip there with the Jacksons. Never drive